Some years ago, I was walking down the street of Shanghai, China, and I was arrested by a most pathetic crime. I was walking down a street which had been, the district had just been taken over by the Japanese, and when I looked to where this cry came from, I saw a poor Chinese man on his knees before a Japanese soldier crying for mercy. Yes, crying for mercy, but he didn't get it. He was beaten up unmercifully, but that's what he wanted. He needed mercy, but he didn't get it. So may we look at seven cries for mercy tonight. The first one we'll look at is in Mark 10, verse 46. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. This is a very well-known scripture, I'm sure, about this is a cry for mercy we find here. And you notice it says, and they came to Jericho. Well, we all know that Jericho is the city of a curse. And it's a type of this present world which is under a curse. And this world, dear friends, is soon going to be judged by the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is once here, the one who is rejected and cast out, is to be the judge in the coming day. How solemn the thought. Tonight he offers himself to you as a Savior God. But if you reject him as a Savior, you are going to meet him as a judge. And I do trust that no one here will meet him as a judge. There's no need to. You can meet him as a loving Savior tonight, right now. He's available. And he wants you to come to him just as you are in all your need and guilt and ruin and accept him by faith as your own precious Savior. Well, we find it says they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, where was he going, the Lord Jesus? He went out of Jericho. He came into this world. He went out of it. He came to Jericho and he went out of it. Where was he going? Ah, he was going to Jerusalem to suffer for your sins and mine. And there is this blind man, blind Bartimaeus, sat by the highway side begging. There are two things in this verse that characterize this poor man. He was blind. And he was a beggar, suggesting he was in need. And it says, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Oh, this dear blind man knew his need. He knew what he wanted. Do you know your need tonight, dear friends? Do you know what you want? I'll tell you what you need. If you haven't been saved, you need Christ, you need a Savior. And that blessed one is available right now, but he may not be tomorrow. No, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. God does not promise salvation tomorrow, but he does promise it now, this moment. And so there is a Savior available for all here tonight. Have we all received him? Well, we find this dear man heard that it was Jesus. What does Jesus mean? Savior. And he might have said, perhaps, well, maybe he'll be passing here another day. No hurry. Did he look at things in that light? No, he did not. Why, when he heard it was Jesus, he began to cry out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. This dear man was in dead earnest. He was not going to let this opportunity slip of contacting Jesus, the Savior. No. Many people perhaps would have said, well, there's no hurry. He'll be back again. Not this man. And I trust, dear friends, you will never put it off. Procrastination is the recruiting sergeant for hell. Oh, friends, do not put off another moment the matter of your soul salvation, of having to do with God about your sins. Have it out right now, this moment. God invites you to come to Him just as you are and receive Christ as your Savior. Well, he began to cry out. Did the Lord hear this cry? Indeed he did. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. This didn't close his mouth. Indeed not. He was in earnest, friends. Are you in earnest tonight to be saved? To contact the Lord Jesus Christ? This man was in earnest, but he cried the more a great deal. The more they told him to be quiet, the more he shouted, Lord, have mercy on me. And the Lord heard the cry, and Jesus stood still. Oh, what precious words. Grace stands still at the cry of a poor blind beggar. We read that Joshua made the moon stand still, but this beggar made the sun stand still, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He stood still at the cry of a poor blind beggar. Oh, the infinite love and grace of his heart. He could have said, well, I am going on to the cross. I cannot look after you now. No, that blessed one was ever willing and ready to hear the feeblest cry of anyone in need. Look at the two thieves when they reviled the Lord Jesus Christ. What did he say to them? Nothing. But when the thief cried, Lord, remember me, what did he say then? He heard that cry, didn't he? He didn't reply to all the revilings and mockings of those around him, no. But as soon as the poor thief cried, Lord, remember me, there was an immediate answer. Does that not reveal his wonderful heart of love to the poor sinner? Indeed it does. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. How very personal. He calleth thee. Have you ever heard the call, dear friends? The blessed Lord has been calling some of you here perhaps for years. Have you responded to the call? He calleth thee, and he's still calling tonight. But if you refuse this call of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, you may never hear another, but you may hear this one. Because I have called, and ye refused, I've stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. You set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity and mock when your fear cometh. Oh, friends, beware you do not hear that call. You can hear that loving call tonight, come unto me. He calleth thee. Any sinner here tonight, God is calling you, and he wants you to come to him because he loves you. And he's proved his love through the person of his blessed Son at Calvary, who went to the cross to die for your sins because he loved you. And there he manifested his love to the sinner. Rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Yes, he heard the call and he responded. Friends, have you heard the call? Yes, you have. Have you responded to it? Are you going to be like those in the 14th of Luke? And they all with one consent began to make excuse. Oh, friends, do not make an excuse for not responding to his call tonight. Come to him just as you are in all your ruin and guilt and he'll receive you just as you are. There's nothing in this blessed book to suggest that you have to turn over a new leaf, that you have to do your best, you have to say your prayers, you have to have your name on the church roll. No, there's nothing in the whole of the blessed Word of God to suggest it. But there is much in this blessed book to assure you that if you've come to Christ as you are, he says in John 6:37, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, dear sinner friend, cannot you venture on that blessed invitation, that grand assurance that if you come to Christ as you are, he'll never turn you aside. He never has turned one down yet, and he never will. He didn't turn this poor wretch down. No, when I came in my need, he received me. And many here tonight can say the same through wondrous grace. What about you, dear friends? Is there one here tonight in his or her sins without Christ, without hope, on the road to hell? Oh, friends, get off that road at once. Get off the broad road onto the narrow. How? By acknowledging before God you're a lost, guilty sinner, and by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior by simple faith. Well, we must get along. He called the thief, and casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. In the East, of course, they used to wear these long garments, and this perhaps would impede his progress, so he cast it away. He was not going to allow anything to stop him from coming to Jesus. What have you allowed to stop you from coming to Jesus, friends? What is it? Why haven't you come? He invites you. He loves you. Christ died for you to put your sins away. Now he wants you to come to him and receive him by faith as your own precious Savior. Oh, the blessedness, the joy of knowing that one's sins are gone and that God will never charge us with them again, washed away in the precious blood of Christ. Do we all know this joy? Do we all have this grand assurance? If not, friends, it can be yours this very moment. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. I suppose Bartimaeus may be said to represent the spiritually blind. And that represents a very large class today. Spiritually blind as to their need, as to their position, as to their condition. Man doesn't like to acknowledge he's a sinner, he's lost and guilty and helpless. No, the last thing on earth he wants to acknowledge, but it's true. It's true of everyone here tonight by nature. We're lost and guilty, helpless, can do nothing for our salvation. Christ has done it all. And he invites you now to come to him on the strength of what he's done at Calvary. And rejoice in the knowledge of sins forgiven by receiving him as your own precious Savior. This dear man knew what he needed, and he got what he needed too. He said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. The Lord didn't say, well, I'll think about it. That's rather a hard question. No, he said right away, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Which way did Bartimaeus go? He'd never seen trees before. He'd never seen the novel sights of Jericho. He might have said, well, I'm off now. I've never seen things before. I haven't seen men or women or houses, trees, shops. I'm off. Did he say that? The Lord said, go thy way. No, it says he followed Jesus in the way. Dear young Christian, are you doing that? Are you following Jesus in the way? Not your own way. He's marked out a way for you in the Word of God. Are we all following Jesus in the way? Well, it's our privilege and it's our responsibility. And may the Lord enable us to do so. Well, impelled by grace, he follows Jesus in the way. What a blessed picture of grace and discipleship. Yes, indeed, he became a disciple of Jesus right away. Didn't go wandering off to see the sights around him. No, he was attracted to the person who had met him in his need, has opened his blind eyes and blessed him so richly. Well, he cried for mercy and he received it. Now he turned to Luke 17. And verse 11. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Well, I suppose these poor lepers stand for the unclean, those whose lives and minds and hearts were defiled by sin. They were unclean. They cried for mercy. They knew what they needed. And did they get it? Oh, yes, they did. This cry was not... The Lord didn't turn a deaf ear to this cry. No. They said, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go, show yourselves unto priests. It came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Just an act of obedience. Go show yourself to the priest, and they went. And as they went, they were cleansed. So their cry was not turned down. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Well, here we have 10 lepers who cried for mercy, and they received it. It's been my privilege to work with lepers on the island of Ceylon. There are about 230 in a camp. And I can tell you, friends, I've never seen such pitiful figures in my life anywhere in this world as we saw there. The limbs eaten off by this terrible disease, nose, ears gone, fingers, toes off. Poor creatures, looked terrible. And just crying for help, moaning with pain, could get no relief. Well, these dear lepers, they came to the right person, did they not? Doesn't say they went to the clinic, didn't go to the hospital. They went to Jesus. He's the only one who could meet them in their need, and he met them and healed them. And now we find them, or one of them at least, giving thanks. Well, maybe turn now to Matthew 15, 21. We have to look at them briefly because the time slips away. 15:21. You'll notice as we turn to these various scriptures, these 7 represent all kinds and classes of persons, almost every type you could mention. That would prove to me that everybody needs the mercy of God. Indeed, they do. If you look at the 2nd chapter of Ephesians, the first 3 verses of that chapter, we find there the terrible condition of man recorded in the first 3 verses. First one, he's dead in trespasses and sins. The 2nd verse, he's a child of disobedience. In the 3rd, he's a children of wrath. He's a child of wrath. But how does the 4th verse begin? But God. After telling us what man is, now the apostle says, but God, who is rich in mercy, the very first thing mentioned. Who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, and by grace I am saved. 3 things that characterize that blessed one. Mercy, love, and grace, and we need them all 3. Have we all received mercy? Have we been a recipient of his love and grace? Well, it's available tonight. That blessed one is waiting for any sinner here to come to him. And you know, friends, the Lord Jesus Christ is soon coming. May come tonight. If he comes while we're here and you're in your sins, you'll be left behind for judgment. Yes, you will. Solemn thought, but it's true. But there's no need for you to come under the judgment of God. The Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross to bear the judgment due to your sins, that you might never have to bear it, but that you might be forgiven and have an eternity in the glory with himself. Well, we find it says, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, the woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us.
But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. A cry of distress that he was heard. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Another one cries for mercy and gets it. Now in Matthew 17, verse 14, and when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, notice this dear man takes his rightful place. Our brother was reading to us this afternoon, he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Here is this man kneeling down to him. He gets on his knees before the Lord. Have you ever done that yet, friend? Have you ever acknowledged yourself a lost, guilty sinner? Have you taken Christ as your Savior? Why not? He's available. He loves you. He invites you. He calleth thee. Why not come to him now? Are you afraid of what your neighbors may think? Are you afraid of what your friends may think? Oh, the fear of man bringeth a snare. Away with such things, my friend. Come to that blessed Savior now, if you haven't done so, and receive him as your own. Well, it says, this man kneeling down and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Here we have another one. Cries to Jesus for mercy, and he gets it. Oh yes, they're not denying, they're not turned down. Why not you come, dear friend, and cry to him for mercy tonight? Mercy's available. It comes from him. He's the source of it all, but God, who is rich in mercy. Well, they came to him here, and this dear son was healed. Now Luke 18. Luke 18. And verse 10, or verse 9 rather. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves. Is the one here tonight who is trusting in himself or herself? That they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee, that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as publicans. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. What's the response from this cry? I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. What a beautiful illustration of this truth here. Well, we find these two men going to the temple to pray. I think perhaps I can picture this scene. I've seen hundreds of Chinese going to the temple along the dusty road, some of them carrying paper money to burn in the temple as an offering to their idol. Paper money, they say, oh, we'll need it in the next world. So they take a lot of paper money and burn it. Not real money, of course. You wouldn't catch them doing that. But this paper money they burn, they think that they'll need it in the next world. Poor creatures. How are they deceived? Well, here, there is these two men going to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, the other a publican. Now you notice these two men commenced their prayer in the same way. They began their prayer in the same way. They both began by saying, God. But oh, what a difference in their prayers. The Pharisee, he says, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. Was this the truth? No, we read in Romans, the end of verse 22, for there is no difference. For all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. He says, I'm not like other men, Lord. Just look at me. What an example I am. I am not like other men. He says, I am not unjust. Well, the blessed Lord, the just one, came to die for the unjust. If he's not one of the unjust, what chance does he have of salvation? He doesn't know that he's unjust. How sad to see and to hear what he says. I am not as other men are. So he really began his prayer by telling a lie. And the publican, he says, I fast, I give, I do this and I do that. It's all I. But the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast. I believe it really means he traced into his thoughts, as much as to say, Lord, the trouble is in here. He wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven, but hung his head in shame and said, the trouble is here, Lord. I have a wicked heart, a sinful heart. What did he say? He began by saying, God, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, what a cry. Have you ever uttered that cry, dear friends? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. If you have, he's heard it. Would there be one here tonight who dared to utter that cry if you haven't done so before? Don't wait till you get home, friends. You may never reach home. Many a soul is cut off in a moment of time because they've put off the matter of their salvation. And that's just what Satan wants you to do, young friends. If you haven't accepted Christ, Satan perhaps is whispering in your ear now. Plenty of time. He's a liar. Do not listen to him. Listen to what God says. Come now, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And so we find, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God heard the cry, didn't he? The very next verse tells us, proves that he did. He says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. Isn't that precious? To be justified? Who justified him? We read in Romans 8, it's God the justifier. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also liveth to make intercession for us. What glorious truths we have in that verse. Four glorious statements, how precious they are. And to justify doesn't merely mean to acquit. Sometimes we hear of a prisoner being acquitted in the court of law. But we never hear the judge clothing that man in a robe of righteousness. Never. The judge doesn't invite him to his home to manifest grace and love to him. No, he may acquit him and let him go. But that's not what we have here in justification. God not only acquits the sinner, but he clothes him in the robe of righteousness so that he is fit for God's holy presence. And he manifests his love and grace to him at the same time. And so this dear man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Matthew 9:27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. Another cry for mercy. You know, those who say, I've done my best, they're not fit subjects for mercy. Oh no, they're relying upon their best to get them to heaven, not the mercy of God. And we find here these two blind men. They said, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. Precious, isn't it? They came to him. And Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, According your faith be it unto you, and their eyes were opened. How precious. Another cry for mercy heard and answered.
by the same blessed person. Now they turn to Luke 16. Luke 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell or Hades he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. What a solemn picture. One comforted, one tormented. They were side by side in their lifetime. The poor beggar sat at his gate full of sores and would gladly have eaten the crumbs from his table. Even the poor dogs came and licked his sores. They had, so to speak, mercy on him. But the rich man had no mercy on him. Now we find here the tables are turned. We find the poor Lazarus, the beggar, is the rich man. The rich man is the poor man. Yes, he's in Hades, the place of departed spirits. He is gone from this scene. He's lived his life here. He died and was buried. And now we find him in hell or Hades, I believe the correct rendering is. What a solemn picture. He cries for mercy, too. Here's the seventh, cries for mercy. But friends, he didn't get it. Why didn't he get it? You think he was in earnest? I'm sure he was. Just as much as the other six. The other six received mercy, every one of them. This man did not and never will, because there's no mercy in hell. Now there's mercy today for any sinner who will take Christ as their Savior, who will own themselves lost and guilty and helpless. God be merciful to me, a sinner. If you want to receive forgiveness of sins, make that cry tonight. Well, what a picture we have before us. The rich man in hell, Hades, tormented, crying for one drop of water to cool his flame-tormented tongue. But he did not get mercy. No, he didn't. And he never will, friends. There's no mercy in hell. There's no forgiveness in hell. There'll be no Christians in hell. I shall never be in hell. And many of us here tonight can say the same through grace. Never be in hell. Why? Because we have acknowledged ourselves lost, guilty sinners like the poor publican. And we have received mercy, forgiveness from the hand of God. We've been the recipients of his love and grace. And we're saved eternally and now on our way home to glory. Oh, how precious to know that. Is it not worth the world? He was a rich man. Now he has nothing. He wants one drop of water and he doesn't get it. He cries for mercy and he's in dead earnest. But there's no mercy there for him. Why didn't he get it? Friends, he cried too late. That's why. He cried too late. Oh, I say, dear friends, dear sinners, do not cry too late for mercy. It's available right now, but it may not be available tomorrow. God holds no hope for salvation tomorrow. He does not promise salvation tomorrow. He promises now, N-O-W. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now the day of salvation. What a picture here, this poor man.
supposedly rich, he was rich undoubtedly, but now he's in a place of torment. And beside all this, something else. Between us and you, a great gulf fixed. How solemn a picture. A great gulf fixed. Oh, friends, it's really too solemn to dwell upon this picture. There was a man who had everything his heart could wish for during his lifetime, and he's reminded of that now. He's in Hades. He's reminded of that. Son, remember thou in thy lifetime. What about your lifetime, friends? Have you lived for self? Have you lived without Christ? Beware. The story before you, this man lived without Christ and died without Christ. Now it's too late for salvation. We do not read here that he had another chance, do we? No, he never did. And remember, we read in the Gospel, the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. I say it reverently, he has no power to forgive sins in hell, and he never will. It's too late. There'll be no sin to be forgiven in heaven. Nothing that defileth shall enter there. But we read, the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. And he has that power to forgive your sins tonight if you'll let him. Why rebel against his grace and love? Why not accept him on the strength of his loving invitation? Come unto me, he says. He stands with open arms and a loving heart to receive you. Even the vilest sinner he will accept if you'll only come to him as you are. Friends, do not try and improve yourself. You never can. No, come to him just as you are in all your guilt and ruin, and he will receive you and bless you eternally and save your soul for all eternity. Well, here, what a sad picture. Son, remember thou in thy lifetime. This would suggest to me that those who find themselves in hell will retain their memory. Yes, they will. If you ever find yourself in hell, dear sinner friend, you'll have your memory. You'll remember this very night you sat in this room when the Lord Jesus Christ was offering himself to you as a loving Savior. And perhaps you said, not yet. Oh, I plead with you tonight, dear sinner friend, not to go through that door in your sins. You can go through the door without them, if you will. Yes. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Have you? Oh, friends, ask yourself that question as you sit on that seat. Have I been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? If not, why not go to him tonight and have your sins washed away in his precious blood shed at Calvary? That's why his blood was shed, friends. To wash the sinner's sins away, to make the sinner fit for heaven. And you can be made fit for heaven in a moment of time. Not by any effort of your own. No, no. Not by the so-called good works, because you cannot produce them to begin with. A sin tree can only produce sins. And that's what you are by nature. That's what I was by nature, a sin tree. All I could produce was sins. But there is one who is willing and able to forgive your sins and wash them all away in his precious blood. Well, now you turn for a moment to Hebrews 10. And if there is a sinner here tonight in his or her sins, take warning from this chapter we've just read in Luke's Gospel about the rich man in hell. I knew of a rich man in Cape Town, South Africa. He had tons of money, as we say. Now he's on his deathbed, he's dying. He cries for a doctor. Pleads with a doctor when he comes to his bedside. He said, doctor, I'll give you this check for £25,000 if you'll prolong my life. I'm afraid to die. Why was he afraid to die? Well, the very fact that he confessed as a proof that he was lost. Yes, he was afraid of the future. He's going to take a step into the darkness of eternity. He was afraid to die. He pleads with the doctor. He has his checkbook there, and he said, I'll give you £25,000 if you'll prolong my life. And the doctor said, friend, I can do nothing for you. You must die. Can you imagine how he felt? A rich man. He couldn't take a cent with him. He died taking his sins with him, I fear. And he's going to be raised in his sins, if such is the case. And he's going to be judged for them, to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ at the great white throne, to be judged for those sins and finally cast into hell. Yes, friends, it's a solemn thing to me to realize that the Lord Jesus Christ is appointed to be the judge. John 5:22 tells us, "The Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." And the 27th verse says, "And hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man." Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ is the man whom God hath appointed to be the judge in the coming day. And friends, I tremble for you if you meet him as a judge. There'll be no mercy then, nor will be consigned to hell forever to be punished for your sins. But there is mercy offered tonight. But in between those two verses, John 5:22 and 27, what do we have? We all know. John 5:24, most of us know what it says. The blessed Lord, who is appointed to be the judge, he turns to the sinner and he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, he calleth thee, I am thee, I say unto thee, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life." Oh, what a glorious statement from the lips of the man who is appointed to be the judge. These are the words during the day of grace, my friend. "Verily, verily, I say unto thee." I believe we find in John's Gospel 25 times that double oath of affirmation. "Verily, verily, I say unto thee." How striking this. Mostly in the other Gospels we get, "Verily, I say unto thee." But oh, how striking this is, even in this verse just quoted. "Verily, verily, I say unto thee," as if the Lord wants to impress upon you, dear sinner, that now is your time to repent, to turn to him. And remember, God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. It's a command of God, my friend. Are you going to ignore the command of God, a divine command, and perish in your sins? No need to. God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because he hath appointed the day in which you will judge this world in righteousness by that man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. That's the assurance God has given to all men. He's raised Christ from the dead, and he's the one to be the judge in the coming day. But tonight, my friends, he's a loving Savior. He wants you to come to him if you haven't done so. If you reject him tonight, you may never have another opportunity. This may be the most favorable opportunity in the history of your life of having to do with the Lord Jesus Christ about your sins. Why not take the opportunity? Oh, do not let this moment slip. The rich man lived for self, he finds himself in hell. Then he cries for mercy and he doesn't get it and he never will. And if you find yourself in that place, friend, you'll never get mercy either. But there is mercy tonight. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, by grace are you saved. Yes, we're saved on the principle of grace through the principle of faith. And you're going to be saved tonight, my friend. Go to that door with your sins gone. Accepted in the Beloved, justified by God himself. And you have the assurance that you're on your way to glory to be with Christ the Lord Jesus. Well, here in the... We were going to look at this verse just for a moment. Hebrews 10, verse 28. Hebrews 10, 28. "He that despised Moses' law died without mercy." What did they do? They despised Moses' law, and they died without mercy. Now listen. "Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Remember, we get in Genesis, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Maybe the Spirit of God is striving with some soul here tonight, but remember, friends, he's not always going to do it. He's doing it tonight. This may be the last time. Do not despise the riches of his grace. Do not turn a deaf ear to his pleadings, his loving invitations. These died without mercy. I remember seeing some dogs in China beaten to death with iron rods. They died without mercy. Those Chinese soldiers were beating these poor dogs to pieces, kicking their pieces in the gutter. Poor wretches, they died without mercy. Here we find these who despised Moses' law died without mercy. Are you going to die without mercy? Or are you going to die as we read in the 11th chapter, verse 13? These all died in faith. What a difference. Are you going to die in faith? Or are you going to die without mercy? Oh, friend, if you die without mercy, your portion will be in hell, the blackness of darkness forever. Oh, what a solemn thing to die without mercy. There is mercy tonight. Wouldn't you rather die in faith if you have to die? But remember, dear sinner friends, the Lord Jesus says, if ye believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins. Yes, you will. Ye shall die in your sins. Do you believe that he is? That he is God? Do you believe that he went to the cross of Calvary to die for your sins? He did. Why? Because he loves you, my friend. Yes, God loved the world so much that he gave his son. And his son loved you so much that he went to the cross to die for you. And there his precious blood was shed on the cross of Calvary, even after he was already dead. And that precious blood poured forth from his side to wash the sinner's sins away and to make the sinner fit for heaven. Are you fit for heaven? You say, I'm doing my best. How many times do we hear that? I've heard it recently. Quite a few times, I'm doing my best. Why, to say that to the Lord Jesus Christ, what an insult. An insult it is. The person of Christ to say, I'm doing my best, and I hope to get there because I'm doing my best. The blessed Lord has done his best. We go to glory on the strength of what he has done, not on the strength of what we can do. Your best is worthless, filthy rags. Rely upon the best of Christ. He's done the best at Calvary. He said, it's finished. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Yes, friends, we have to rely upon the work of another, not our own works, not for a moment. We have to rely upon that blessed one, the Lord Jesus, and his shed blood. And that blood was shed for you, dear sinner friend, because he loves you. I can assure you that Christ loves you, dear sinner friend. Indeed, he does. He's proved it by going to Calvary, to lay down his life a sacrifice for sin and for sinners. Christ died for the ungodly. Who are the ungodly? You and me by nature, every one of us by nature, ungodly, unlike God in every detail, every way. And Christ died for such. Yes, he did. So he died for you. You're going to say no to him now? You're going to turn this blessed Savior down tonight? Or are you going to say, well, I'll think about it later. Friends, beware. Beware. I'm sure the rich man didn't realize his life would soon ebb out and he'd be in hell. And there are many people today who think they're here for a long time yet. I was talking to an old man outside a motel the other day. He told me his age. He's pretty old. He said, I'm good for another 20 years yet. I said, you may be, friend, but what about the end? The 20 years will soon roll away. What about the end? Well, he was not interested. He said, I'll just go in the grave. Yes, that's not the end, my friend. You may think the same, but remember what God says. After death, there's something else. There's judgment for the sinner who dies in his sins. The grave is not the end. Do not be deceived. No, indeed not. God says, after death, the judgment. Can you face that? the judgment of God? Well, you'll certainly come under the judgment of God if you do not accept the grace of God. Yes, we either receive the wages of sin, which is death, and after death the judgment, or we receive the gift of God, which is eternal life. It's up to you, friends, tonight. Let us be plain. This may be the last time we'll ever be together at a gospel meeting. Yes, the time is short, my friends. Do not dabble with God's grace. Do not put the matter off for another moment. Delay is dangerous. This could be the last night you'll ever hear the gospel. Could be. The Lord is coming. Thank God He is. I'm waiting for Him. I long to see Him. And many of us here tonight could say amen to that. But what about you? Do you long to see Him? Do you fear to meet Him? If so, I believe you're in your sins. You haven't accepted Christ as your Savior. If He were to come right now, friends, how would it be with every one of us here, young and old? Are you saved? If not, you're lost. You're neither a believer or an unbeliever. You're either on the way to glory or you're on the way to eternal hell, which is, oh, to have the matter settled, I plead with you in the name of Christ to have that matter settled before you leave this room. The matter of your sins before a holy God. You're responsible to God, and friends, if those sins are not put away, they'll drag you down to an eternal hell. Those sins will keep you out of heaven forever, and they'll take you into hell forever, unless you have them washed away in the precious blood of Christ, and you can have them put away right now, this very moment. Yes, be like the poor publican. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Hold yourself a sinner. That's what God is waiting for you to acknowledge that you're a sinner. Ah, many a proud heart wouldn't acknowledge that they are sinners, but it's the best thing you can do, and the only thing. And so, friends, let us remember, these died without mercy who despised Moses' law. Others died in faith. That's the way to die if you do die, to die in faith. Did they go to hell? Indeed not. No. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. If you were to die tonight, your sinner friend, would you die without mercy? Where would you go? Ask yourself that question right now. Where would I go if I went into eternity right now? Perhaps you say, well, I don't know. Well, it's time you did, friend. The Word of God tells you plainly enough where you'd go. If you die in your sins, you go to a lost eternity. You go to hell. Yes, you do. That's God's word, not my thoughts or opinions. We're not here to express our opinions. We want to bring the truth before you, and the solemn truth that eternity is just ahead, and you and I have got to face it. Sometime, maybe tonight. Yes, we're all going to face eternity, friends, in a very short time, I believe. It's either an eternity with Jesus in the glory, the Savior of sinners, the Redeemer of mankind, or it's an eternity in hell. What is your choice? Oh, decide before you go out of that door, and decide in the right way. Do not be like the rich man. Six of them cried for mercy and they received it. The seventh cried for mercy and he never did receive it and never will. And neither will you if you die in your sins. If you die without Christ, friend, you'll never have mercy. There's no mercy in hell. There's weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth, blackness of darkness forever. The brightness of eternal glory for those who die in Christ, those who receive Him as their Savior, just waiting for Him to come to take them home to glory. And you, dear sinner friend, you're condemned already, awaiting the execution of God's judgment upon you. That's what you're waiting for. Do you realize it? True. He that believeth not is condemned already. Our time is up. Shall we pray?